Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and I am very happy to have filmmaker Kevin Grossman with me. Hey, Kevin.
Hey there.
All right, we are, this is a makeup recording. We're going to come right out and say it. This is Kevin's four questions. We recorded this before, but he was under the weather and had forgotten that I was going to ask these four questions as part of the podcast. And so Kevin said, can we re-record that? And I have a policy. My answer is always, unless it's going to cause me harm, I always say yes.
Considering all of my neuroses and my paranoia about what people are going to think about what I've, about my opinions, I requested a re-record because I didn't want to upset any potential ways of employment or employers.
For sure. And also, I mean, to do a list of your favorite films and underrated, overrated, lesser known, you know, if you don't have time to think about it, it's kind of, you know, it's like when someone asks you on the spot, what's the best thing you've watched on TV for the last year? And you go, fuck, I've watched so much TV this last year. Like, I don't know. I can't even remember anything I watched. Like, you know, it's like, it's better to think things out when you're under the gun.
No, it's for sure better. I looked at the questions beforehand and I wrote down my
excellent. Well, before we get to your answers, of course, I'm going to talk about you for 30 to 60 seconds. Your film is called Me as You. That you have a couple films, I believe. But I also, we did a interview as well. So if people want to check out that interview, just go to the Discover Indie Film podcast on a podcast app or something. And I don't know, scroll till you see Kevin Grossman and you can learn all about Kevin and his work. But your film, Me as You, was at the Sherman Oaks Film Festival in 2021, which is where I met you. And I think Me as You is a kick-ass film. I just love it. It won the Programmer's Prize. It was funny. You made fun of me last time because you're like, yeah, well, my award was the one you give out, Jeff. But anyway, but you fucking deserved it. So anyway, you're an award-winning filmmaker for the film Me as You. And Me as You is in the Discover Indie Film TV series. So if people want to check out that kick-ass film, go to Amazon Prime Video and search for Discover Indie Film. And I believe it's in season 7, right? Or 6. I should look that up. My bad. It normally says it in my notes, but it's not in my notes. But if
I think actually, this, I think I actually did look. I think it is 7. I think it is.
Yeah, seasons. It is 7. It is 7. And you're a cool. I believe it's an episode. I think it's 4 or 5. And there's 4 really cool films in it. It's sort of an art housey episode. Discover Indie Film is just very eclectic. It's got comedy, drama, art house, documentary, just everything. So anyway, and there's another way people can see Me as You, which is if they go to HITV, or on their, it's a smart TV app, which makes it a streaming service, or you can go to watchhitv.com, and Me as You is on there. That is a streaming service that I started with some partners that is all excellent indie films that you can enjoy in any state. But if you are a responsible drug user, don't allow drugs to ruin your life. I have friends whose lives have been endangered by drugs. But if you can use them responsibly, then the content on High TV is even better with some weed. But I can tell you, I've never watched Me as You stoned. I do plan to someday. I really do. But I love the film, but I can tell from watching it the multiple times I've seen it that I will love it maybe just a little more when I watch it with an edible in my body.
I hope so. I think about it and I think I wonder if someone's going to have a bad time with it because it's a little, you know, trippy and it has bad trip vibes at times, I guess.
I guess I'll just share. I mean, my, you know, 40 plus years of experimentation have told me that bad trips, it comes from inside, not from outside. Mm. So if Me as You somehow triggered a bad trip, well, that's because they were standing on the edge anyway. So, but, you know, we've discussed it. So people should watch Me as You. Go to watchhitv.com. It's $4.20 a month to subscribe. And there's a reason for that. So anyway, we've discussed Me as You enough. People, if they want to learn all about you in that film, should listen to the podcast that's listed before this one. Now we can hop right into your answers to the four questions, which I think I said earlier, but it's just name three films that you love, name an underrated film, an overrated film, and a lesser known film that people should seek out. And at this point, I'm going to do my best to be extremely quiet while you give your answers.
Isn't that three questions? Where's the fourth?
No, I ramble. I went too fast. But the first question is name three favorites, and then it's name an underrated, name an overrated, and name a lesser known film for people to seek out.
Okay, I fucked up with the three favorites. I may not have. I got that. I could just do that. That's fine. The three favorites. I can do the three favorites.
Perfect. Go for it. What's let's hear your three.
All right, we'll do Trainspotting. Just look at the posters around my room. Trainspotting, Crash by David Cronenberg, and Trainspotting, Crash by David Cronenberg. Not the Crash, not the Crash that won the Oscar.
That upset me when that Crash came out and got all that Oscar attention. I'm like, dude, it was just like 5 years ago. There was an amazing Cronenberg film with, right? It was Spader and Arquette. Yeah. And that was a cool movie.
That's a great movie. I have a poster. See? You see it?
I do.
Right behind my head.
It's a sexy film, too. Cronenberg didn't always get sexy, but that one he did.
I think he's pretty. I find his movies erotic in a very twisted way, but they are erotic, I think. They're fetish. They're very fetishistic.
Crash is the ultimate fetish film in a lot of ways, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna just place as the third. I think we're just gonna go with God damn it! What the hell are we gonna go with? We'll go with After Hours. That's what we'll do. We'll do because I think I mentioned that last time. So we'll just do After Hours.
For sure, After Hours is a great pick.
Yeah, let's do that. After Hours, Trainspotting, and Crash.
Rosanna Arquette makes two appearances on your list. Is she in After Hours?
That's right. Could I do a fourth one? Could I do Naked as well? Let's do Naked too.
Hell yeah, you can do Naked. Oh, the All David Thewlis right. Naked?
Yeah, we talked about that last time too. I'll continue talking about that one.
But, man, I remember when Naked came out and just blew everyone away.
It's such a great movie. It's so good.
Such a great film.
So I think that those are my four favorites is Trainspotting, After Hours, Crash by David Cronenberg, and
After Hours and Naked.
That might be five. Is that five?
Trainspotting. No, I got four. Trainspotting, Crash, After Hours, Naked.
Okay, yes, that's right.
And the lad, you got some killer directors on that list, because, I mean, Naked is Mike Leigh, and I consider Mike Leigh an all-time favorite and probably doesn't get what he deserves from the public.
Well, he's hard to take, probably. He's not super mainstream-oriented. I mean, it's definitely like character studies and, you know, dark, very, you know, slice of life, but I guess the kitchen sink realism thing, that like British kitchen sink realism thing. I don't know, yeah. It's not for everyone. I can imagine why people may not gravitate toward it, but
yeah, but if you love acting too, right? If someone appreciates great acting, Mike Leigh is the king of, like, he just starts with an idea and has actors workshop, right? They just improvise and workshop for months. Yes. And then he brings out a film camera.
That's right. He does like a rehearsal process and then also how he finds the characters. That's how he like builds the scripts. He like has them improvise and come like find.
I think I'm going to add a comment to your list, which is very much in our tour list. I mean, Trainspotting, you got Danny Boyle. Crash, you got David Cronenberg. After Hours, you got Scorsese. And Naked, you got Mike Lee. So those are four. I mean, Scorsese gets covered by a lot of people, but I don't think Boyle gets the respect he deserves either. I know he does well, but I actually don't think he's... I haven't seen them all, but I've never disliked a Danny Boyle film, actually.
I do like... I mean, I really like the 90s stuff. I really do. I really like that stuff.
I still can't believe... what it was... I forget. Was it 300 hours? How many hours?
Oh, 120 something.
Yeah, but I still can't believe how engaged I was for the entire film. And it was just about one guy who gets his arm stuck while he's hiking. And I somehow Danny Boyle made that.
That's true.
Brilliant.
He is very, I think, clever. And he's really good with, he's like got that, what is it that, I'm trying to think of the word that, it's like that editing style, but you know, he's always got that kind of like sense of excitement that he just injects into things.
For sure.
I can't remember what the word is I'm trying to think of. It's sort of like a word to describe an editing style, but I can't remember it.
I don't got it in my head either. All right. Well, an excellent top four or four favorites. That's the question is intentionally worded. So it's not name the four best films ever made or three best films ever made. It's just three things you really like. So
yeah.
Question number two is a film that is underrated.
Yeah, I would say Showgirls by Paul Verhoeven is my pick for underrated because everybody trash. I mean, I don't know if they still do, but it used to be that they would trash Showgirls. I mean, it got terrible reviews. It's one of those movies that infamously people have said is terrible. I think there was even like a trend of like watching Showgirls like it's so bad it's good or whatever. But I honestly don't think people realize that he intended it to be a comedy, like a satirical comedy kind of, because that's what he does. I mean, his movies are all kind of satirical. So I think
RoboCop is satire.
Yeah, yeah.
The Mars one is satire.
Starship Troopers.
Yeah,
Total Recall.
I'm thinking
Total Recall. Yes, Total Recall. Everything. Sorry. Yeah, that's the Mars one, of course. I just mixed up space sci-fi stuff. Everything he does is like cheeky and like, well, tongue in cheek, whatever. It's all like, you know, purposefully like bombastic and gross and, you know, like fucked up.
for sure.
And so Showgirls, it's like people are like, oh, it's so bad it's good. It's like no, that movie is supposed to be fucking crazy. Like that's why it's so good, because that's his style. He's going for the jugular, and people are like, no, it's so, you know, it's, that's what people would say. I don't know now. I think maybe enough people, well, at least people who are Paul Verhoeven fans know. But
you know, I like that you got a Dutch filmmaker on there.
Mm-hmm.
You got two Brits and two Americans in your favorites, and now you've thrown one to the Dutch. But
the Dutch.
He's the Dutch are fantastic.
I love. There's so much Danish, Dutch, all that Scandinavian. There's a bunch of Scandinavians.
Actually,
that I'm into
at the film festivals I program. We get an impressive number of high quality shorts from Belgium.
Wow!
Because in Belgium. If you have a good script, there's like a film council that actually they support the arts.
See?
And somehow whoever's choosing, like they actually do support good stuff.
I know. This is why I just need to move to Europe or something. I just need to go to Europe.
You gotta do.
It's just,
hey,
how am I going
to nice
get in?
To us in the Netherlands too. Long history of that.
The issue is apparently from what I hear, if I want to try to, you know, get into one of these places, I mean, it's very difficult. I think I have to really have a purpose to their country. I don't know. I have to really make a plea to them. I probably just got to meet a Danish girl or something and just
marry
them.
You have to marry, yeah. Actually, my college roommate just got EU citizenship because his wife, both her parents are born in Italy. And even though she was born in California, she managed to get Italian citizenship. So she has an EU passport as well as an American passport. As her husband, he was able to like, but by the way, he had to take Italian classes. He had to do school. He had to go to school for the Italians to let him have their pass. But now he's got an EU passport. So even just think about it, man. Things get ugly. He can get the hell out of here.
But even though he did get married, so like the marriage wasn't enough. He still had to.
Marriage wasn't enough. He had to take the test. He had to take the classes. He had to learn the language. They are like, you can't get an Italian passport if you don't know the language.
Well, that's probably fair. And honestly, you know what? It's a good way to get you to be bilingual, because how else are you going to do it? You got to be forced, you know. Someone's got to force you, because you know, it's so hard. You know, you got to have somebody pushing you to do it.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, third question is a film that is overrated. And do you want my primer on it that you're not insulting the film? You could say this is a great film. I'm just saying it's overrated because it got more Oscars than it deserved. Or, you know, it's not that filmmaker's. Everyone says that's the best film ever. And you're like, what do you mean that filmmaker's other stuff is better? So anyway.
Listen, I'm a very opinionated person, but at the same time, I believe that I'm not a critic. If I was a critic professionally, if that was my, you know, my vocal role with my name on it, then I would say, you know, I'm going to just let my opinions out, but I'd rather not let all my shit out, because I know that I'll piss somebody off who maybe I like, you know. And it's not to say that, like, you know, that this is the biggest, not to insult this, but I'm just saying, it's not to say that everyone's listening to this, but it's just like, I'd rather it not be like,
you don't want to put something negative out there.
I just don't want it to be found.
Do you want to skip this one entirely?
No. I have an answer.
There have been people who say, you know what? All art is valid, and I'm not going to call anything overrated. And I say, fair enough.
No, I have an answer, and I'm going to just go for stuff that luckily nobody involved with the project I think is still around. My choice is, I would say, and this is one that I have said is over, like I did think was overrated, but I think it's kind of a typical choice, because I think it's already seen a lot of criticism from like a lot of the woke kind of brigade. But Gone with the Wind is one I would say is overrated, and it's not because of any sort of like, you know, things that aren't, you know, PC or something like that. That's not really. I mean, I think the time is part of that, and you know, whatever. And it's also the story of the film. So, I mean, I don't, you know, whatever problems with it being not politically correct, that to me is kind of moot, because it was made in a time that was different, you know. But I just think it's overlong and not very interesting to me, and just a little, you know, just too much. I think it's got good, like, cinematography and things, but it's, I just think it's a little, people are overkill on it.
I have a funny question. Have you watched the whole thing from start to finish?
I believe I have, but to be honest with you,
I don't think I've seen anything but a clip.
I'm pretty sure I have. It's for me, it's a hard one. It's so long. And it's, yeah, it's just, you know.
By the way, that's a fair pick for overrated, because I think we both know the trivia that if you adjust the box office for inflation, Gone with the Wind made more money than Avatar and Titanic put together. Like, it's the biggest film of all time, the most successful film ever made.
Absolutely. Yeah,
and
I think
and it was a love letter to the Confederacy or whatever.
Oh, yes, yes, and I suppose that's true, yes. And you know, the thing is that, yeah, I mean, look, if people want to take offense to that, I get it. I don't think, personally, I don't think that that's, like, if a movie is good and it's you know, it's not like I'm saying that the Confederacy is something we should celebrate. I'm saying it's like, well, it's a story about people in the South during that time. So it's like, that's not to me a big deal, you know, because it's just like, that's the story. It's not saying that they're good or bad necessarily, but,
yeah. And your criticism of it is about the cinema itself, the movie itself. You're not saying, I don't like the way people are represented in this and that. You're saying,
yeah,
it's not that great a movie.
It's just, yeah, it's just sort of, it's just, it's overlong. I think length is always a thing that makes something, for me, a lot of movies, in a general sense, I'm not going to name the movies, but it can make a lot of movies overrated, because I just think it's like, do you need a movie to be 3 hours? I just, that's something that I think some movies earn it, but it's rare, I think, that I've seen it be actually really earned. 3 hours is just so long for something. To me, it's like, you know, it's hard to justify. Although I will put up with it many times, especially with these special effects and things, you know, not many times, but I will check something out if it interests me, because, you know, maybe there are things I'll like in it. But I just think there's an extra hour in a lot of these kinds of, like, sort of epically designed films that it's just, I mean, there's just no point to me. But Gone with the Wind is apparently, I mean, it's the whole story is in there. So I guess maybe it's also just a big epic story. So maybe that's part of capturing it. I don't know.
I mean, I'll back you up with a pithy statement, which is Gone with the Wind is my ex-wife's favorite film of all time. So I'm glad you shat on it.
All right. Well, let's talk shit on your ex-wife.
But she's a lovely person. She just apparently, and she actually has good taste in film in general, but I have never watched Gone with the Wind, because I decided there's certain films I'm going to go to the grave having not seen. Believe it or not, Dirty Dancing is on that list, and Grease is on that list. Gone with the Wind is on that list.
Yeah, you might not be missing out too much. Yeah,
Bambi is on that list.
Yeah.
Yeah, what can I say? All right, so this ain't about me. You only have one more question to jump, one more hurdle left, and that is a lesser-known film for people to seek out.
Yeah, I chose three because, you know, I can't do that. So I said, I think, a couple of these last time, so I'll just say them again. So this movie, Frownland, which is by this guy, now I can't remember, Ronald Bronstein, who collaborates with the Safdie brothers on everything. He's like their co-writer, co-editor. He's a really talented, and he starred in their film Daddy Long Legs, which coincidentally maybe is another one to check out. But Frownland is a really interesting movie for the people who really struggle with anxiety and maybe want to see a kind of like a horror comedy in a way. I mean, it's not like a dark comedy. It's funny, but it's horrifying. But it's about, you know, a guy who is stricken with just absolutely terrible paranoia, anxiety, social awkwardness. It's a really relatable and horrifying movie, and you kind of like simultaneously hate the main character and kind of care about him. But I found it to be a lot. It really triggered me. I would say that there's more horror in that movie than a lot of horror movies. So
I'm eager to watch it. Yes. It's not one that was ever on my radar. So
yes.
Excellent pick.
And then there's Straight Time.
You got two more.
Yeah. And then there's Straight Time. Dustin Hoffman made a movie in the 70s. He was supposed to direct, but then he ended up just starring in it and having someone else come in to direct it. And it's a movie about him as an ex-con. He, you know, gets released from prison. He was like a jewel thief, something like that. And he tries to go straight, kind of, but that doesn't last very long. But it's sort of like he's an ex-con, and I like it because, you know, I love Dustin Hoffman, and I think also it's like, I love that, to me, he gives me hope which, of course, might be foolish because he really is unique in that way, because he, you know, he kind of is one of the one of a kind in a way, but he's not like a typical leading man. You know, he's like a, he's a very like scrappy and, you know, he's offbeat, he's off kilter. He's short, which I am as well. I'm like the same height as him. So it's like, you know, and he's like this sort of masculine, screw fucked up, you know, kind of jewel thief guy. And I love that movie and he's great in it. And I almost told him that I loved it, but I, cause I met him, but, I just got too nervous. But, I met him a couple times. I've run into him a couple times. I've like served ice cream to him when I was working catering at one point. And I wanted to tell him I love Straight Time, but he loves that movie. So damn, I wish I had told him.
I've been there too. We're programmed to just treat celebrities like they're not, right? We're programmed. Yeah. Like if you encounter them in the real world, just treat them like another person.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did that with, actually the, you know, Frank Black Francis of the Pixies. I was like, I walked up to him and told him I was such a fan. And then what I didn't tell him was that this is my great regret in life, is that I didn't say, by the way, I love your solo records better than the Pixies, which I thought I probably would have been the only person to ever say that to him. And I blew it. Just like you could have named Straight Time to Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, yeah, no, that sucks. Well, hopefully we'll both get another shot, maybe.
Hopefully. Yeah. Dustin Hoffman is a special case. He, things are tough now. All right. So I think you have one more.
Yes. My last one is What Happened Was, which is a film by, Tom Noonan. Tom Noonan is this great character actor. He's been in Synecdoche, New York. He was in that movie Manhunter, which was like, it was like the predecessor to Silence of the Lambs. He was like basically the killer in that. I don't know if it was Buffalo Bill. I think it's a different character, but anyway, he's a great, great actor, Tom Noonan. And he made this movie, What Happened Was, which is, it's kind of, I think it might've been a play first, but he stars in it with, I can't remember her name, but this great actress. And it's just like a date at her apartment, at the woman's apartment. It's just him and this girl. And, over the course of this date, all these sort of things are revealed. It's a very strange, dark character study thing. And, it was like, I think actually exclusively put on the Criterion Channel. So you could probably check it out on there, but, it's one of those movies that, it's definitely super unknown by a lot of people, and it's solid, really solid, really cool. So
for sure. And Tom Noonan is great. He's great. Yes. And I, you know what? I looked it up real quick. So I'll just give credit to Karen Silas.
There's
two L's in Silas, but yeah, nice picks.
Thanks. Yeah, that's it. Those are my choices.
Those are your picks and we're good. Anything else you want to throw in before we run?
No, I think that's it. I think, you know, I'm just happy that I kind of thought it through a little bit this time.
Fair enough. And I won't throw any more questions at you, because, you know, I was tempted to go, okay, they just announced, we're recording this right after, like a week or so after the Oscars were announced. Mm. But fuck it, we don't have to discuss the Oscars.
Yeah, if I discuss the Oscars, you're just going to hear my opinions, which are going to insult somebody if they wanted to go do a deep dive on me and tried to hire me, because that's what everybody does now, because the internet, you know, and well, there's that. And then, I don't know, maybe people, I suppose people never really wanted to be talking shit on their potential coworkers or contemporaries. So that's kind of what I'm trying to avoid that, because even though maybe that's sort of me highfaluting to say, oh, these are my contemporaries, because, you know, I'm sort of like struggling to get work these days, but it doesn't matter. I'd rather, if I do get in the running for something, I'd rather not have something out there for me to like be said that I, you know, that I criticize them.
So. For sure. And the truth is, yeah, I mean, the purpose of the question isn't to put negativity out in the world.
No, I hear you.
It's just to, you know, honestly, this whole four questions thing, I don't know if I told you last time, was inspired. I have a friend who's a professional drummer. He's a session drummer, super talented. Heroin addiction kept him from actually ever really making it because he got kicked out of every band he was in. He doesn't listen to this, so I'm safe. I'm not going to name his name, but he's a gigantic man and he likes to be confrontational. So on Facebook all the time, he's just like saying, so-and-so is the most overrated drummer of all time. This is the most overrated band of all time. And he's always throwing out. And then he said, this is the most underrated band of all time. So anyway, I was like, you know what? I should do what he does, but with film.
Well, there's a really cool thing that, I mean, even though they're sort of considered to be pretentious and bullshit, there's this, oh geez, maybe I shouldn't say that even. Well, I mean, no, I don't think that that's a big deal. I can say that. This music critic publication called Pitchfork, they you know, review all this stuff. I don't think they're as huge as they once were, but they have like a series that they do. You can check out where they talk to bands and they ask what's under and overrated. So this is a very natural thing to try and go for. They do ask those people questions. I think they try to ask them like about weird things, like random things like bananas or something like that, under or overrated, or like, you know, skiing. I don't know, weird shit, just like random shit like that. I don't know if they ask them so much about like other bands, but they probably have. But anyway, you know what I'm saying? I like, I think it's a great idea. And, you know, I honestly have a lot of opinions and I'd love to share them with people, but they're going to be one-on-one and I'm not going to be recorded.
All right. Someday we're going to hang at a festival or something again. And we can, you can tell me all the stuff you really hate.
Yeah.
And I'll share what I really like. There's a lot of stuff I really dislike too, you know, but absolutely. I will say that film is artist subjective, and I've never, if someone tells me a film I dislike is their favorite, I don't think lowly of them. I'm like, you know what? It just wasn't for me. You know, they didn't have me in mind. And Lord knows my taste is a little artsier and more indie. And, you know, another film I refused to see was this new Top Gun. I'm like, I'm sure the new Top Gun was super entertaining, but they didn't have me in mind and they made enough money without me. So, you know, it's not a knock on Top Gun Maverick. It's just, I don't need that. And they don't need me. We're fine. Tom is not hurt by my lack of participation.
Probably not.
But if he does another Paul Thomas Anderson film, I'll see him on screen again.
Dude, that would be great. Oh man. He's so good in that, in Magnolia. Man,
I know. It's the one time we all were like, whoa, he really can act if he's pushed.
Yeah, he's so good in that. Well, I think he's always great. I just, you know, I think.
Yeah. I mean,
I'd like to see more of him in those types of things.
He's
for sure.
He's the last movie star we've got, so I guess I'm not knocking him. I'm just saying that particular wasn't for me.
I think that there is a void that there's definitely, I'd love to see him do a lot more, stuff where he kind of digs into characters more, you know.
And he has that, he's so talented. And I'll add that, like, hey, when he does sci-fi stuff, I'm normally all in. Like, I just whatever, airplanes shooting at random other airplanes, it's just like, I get it, like people get pumped for that. But it's, you know, my best friend who's no longer with us always said, everyone doesn't like something and I don't like war movies. I'm glad it got a laugh. All right. Well, here, I'll wrap it up so we can get out. Do you want to name your social media or anything, or want me to just make it a clickable link?
Yeah, both. Yeah. Look, I'm Kevo the Grossman on Instagram, and You can find my stuff on Vimeo. I think there's a Vimeo link on my bio and my Instagram. And I think that's probably all people need. I got an Instagram.
Excellent.
Instagram is everything you need. You can contact me. You can see what I'm doing. Yeah.
And do you want me to put hashtag Gone with the Wind sucks on the Instagram when I push this? Just kidding.
Yeah. Let's not put it out there.
That'd be one of them, you know, all these people in their 90s who are not on Instagram. I really think it was a safe pick. All right.
No, it's a very safe pick. I don't want to say anything sucks.
Yeah. Agreed. All right. I was just kidding. All right. All kidding aside, I'll get us out of here. Thank you, everyone, for listening. This was the Discover Indie Film Podcast, which is a podcast that just got started because I program 2 film festivals and we do a nice 15-minute Q&A for every film. And when it comes down to it, like, you can barely scratch the surface of a film when you're doing a Q&A, especially when you turn over to the audience after like the first 3 minutes and, you know, who knows what they're going to say. So I started this podcast so that filmmakers could share more about their work and started this 4 questions thing for fun. So if you want to learn more about this podcast or the TV series that was born from it, that does have Kevin's film, Me as You, in it, just go to discoverindiefilm.com and it's at DIFWINS on social media. Yeah, you can watch that stuff on Amazon Prime Video. So just search for Discover Indie Film on Amazon Prime Video. And the festival I met Kevin at was the Sherman Oaks Film Festival. People want to look that up. It's every November. ShermanOaksFF.com and at ShermanOaksFF on social media. Got a sister festival every June. Same thing, different name. Film Invasion Los Angeles. And the website's FilmInvasionLA.com and it's at FilmInvasionLA on social media. And I said at the top, this new fun little project, Hi TV. If you go to WatchHITV.com, you can see a lot of really cool indie films. And you actually, if you're up for that $4.20 a month subscription, you actually really are going to be supporting indie filmmakers. Cause, I won't say it up. Should I talk numbers? I don't know. I'm not going to talk numbers, but it really is about the content. It really is about the films. So anyway, that is all I'm supposed to say at the end. Kevin Grossman, thanks as always for being a fun person to chat with.
Of course. Thank you for having me, man. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. And thank you, everyone, for listening.